Greetings and welcome to Fountain of Life Daily Inspirations. This is Brother Philip Hodson, and today we will be finishing a short series that we have done on the 23rd Psalm. And so again here, we're going to open up by reading the Psalm, and then we're going to close out with the sixth verse. And oh, it is one of my favorite verses. It is certainly a wonderful way to close this Psalm, as David closed it with a direct hit on the faithfulness and goodness of God that has been recounted throughout this psalm. May our hearts rejoice. May you never read it the same. And may you know the realities, not just of a beautiful psalm to hear at a funeral time or a difficult time, but a psalm which defines the reality of your life, which gives you a reason to sing, which is indeed what the psalms are. They are songs written adoring God for who he is. And may it indeed be that for you this day. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now we've spoken, and I guess I will not recount the whole psalm as we sit here today, but we have spoken of the realities the first three verses share of the Lord being our shepherd and the confidence that we can have in his shepherding care and love for our life and what it means to be his sheep. In the last two verses yesterday, we were speaking there of the realities that we face in life. Though he is our shepherd, though he's the one leading us, and though, yes, he indeed leads us in paths of righteousness, that does not mean, and actually does mean, it doesn't mean all will go well, and it actually does mean that we will go through dark valleys of the shadow of death and that we will face certain enemies in this life. You think, now, if he's my shepherd, surely he wouldn't let anything go wrong. He wouldn't let any calamity come into my life. And David says that he will fear no calamity or no disaster when it comes, because the one who is a shepherd is with him. And he speaks of that communing with that shepherd as he's there, even facing his enemies that are around ready to destroy him and swallow him alive. He talks about the communing with the living God even during that time. And David knew these realities. And he said that his cup runs over as he was overwhelmed with the realities of God's grace and goodness and mercy and care for his life. And then he closes this out with words. Oh, they're beautiful just to read them. But as we consider what they mean, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You know, we think of the goodness of God, it's that which is agreeable, that which is pleasant, that which is beneficial, that which brings forth happiness and welfare and well-being into my life, that which prospers my life. He says, surely his goodness and his mercy, and we know that word mercy, it's hesed, the Hebrew word, a beautiful word. It's God's faithfulness, God's kindness, God's goodness. He's saying that his goodness, his faithfulness, his kindness, and that which is meant to prosper the life of his children. And I like the word, it says, shall follow me. And so you picture that David going along, and here behind him comes following the goodness and mercy of God. But oh, that word is so much more beautiful than that. I'll tell you a place where that word is. It's in 1 Samuel 26, verse 20. It says, so now do not let my blood fall on the earth before the face of the Lord, for the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, as when one hunts a partridge in the mountains. And there we see that he's speaking of a hunter hunting and going out seeking after a partridge in the mountains, seeking after a flea. You know, he's speaking of an animal seeking after its prey is one way this would work. You know, it's pursuing. As you see a lion going after the wildebeest or the zebra or whatever else he may be pursuing, and you've maybe seen some of these documentaries and watched as this lion relentlessly pursues this beast until it gets a hold of it. Or maybe you've yourself been out hunting coons with a dog and you've heard the dog begin to howl and get on the trail of a coon and go until he gets that coon up in a tree and he sits and howls relentlessly until the hunter, his master, gets there to retrieve the coon. And that's the word that is used here. Surely goodness and mercy is not only going to follow kind of lackadaisically behind me, but it is going to pursue me relentlessly. And that's what David's saying. And you can see it. It pursued him as his enemies were about to overtake him. It pursued him as he was going through death's dark valley. And David says, surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life. And that word surely means it is for sure. It's an emphatic word. Indeed, it's absolutely positive. Goodness and mercy shall relentlessly pursue me all the days of my life. Oh, is that not beautiful? God is so good. May your confidence be that way. If you're his sheep and you know him, oh, you know the truths of these words. The God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory, has all authority to allow his beloved children to endure precisely calculated seasons of trial, testing, hardship, and suffering. But he also has the same authority when his appointed time of trial and suffering is past, to complete, restore, establish, strengthen, and settle us on a sure foundation. Truly, he is working all things together for good, in perfect precision, to them that love God and follow his sweet and lovely voice and call. For to him belongs all power, authority, right, and dominion forever and ever. Let us never lose sight of this, though we walk through what seem to be unreasonable fires of testing and trial. For he who has called us to his eternal glory and virtue is faithful, who will also establish our steps to the end, to that end, as we seek, follow, and trust him through every valley and even in the face of our enemies. For he has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness, and as we follow our shepherd, he assures us that his goodness and mercy will pursue us, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we read these last words there, as David realizes, wow, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, David knows he's a mortal man. David knows that he's going to die, and he knows that even though he dies, yet shall he live. Oh, David has grabbed hold of new covenant promises, even from back there in the old covenant, as he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. David believes in the Lord of the resurrection, and Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And David is overwhelmed with the goodness of God, and he realizes that no matter what he faces in this life, that the goodness and mercy of God will pursue him relentlessly, and that he will indeed dwell in the house of the Lord forever. No matter what befalls him, the promise is true that he will dwell eternally with his Lord. Oh, may we hold on to this promise, all the more as we have seen Jesus go through, pass through death and into life through the resurrection, and has ascended and risen to the right hand of God the Father. We look back on what Jesus has done. David looked forward to what Jesus would do, and we should have such a confidence in him, if indeed we are his. Oh, he is so good. To them that believe, he is precious. I hope that he is precious to you. He is beautiful. He is wonderful. He is altogether lovely. And may you love him with all your heart. He is so worthy. May the Lord bless you.